take the word of God and do something great with it. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you, something just transpired over me this week and this morning as I was studying and praying and really contemplating some thoughts. But I've had a lot of conversations in the last month with, in particular, with young men that have had some struggles. And I'm so glad that for some of you that are here tonight, not only young men, older men, I've been on the phone this week with pastors who are struggling and having challenges. Hey, I have challenges sometime. I have struggles. I have issues. We need one another. But I want to just talk to you a little bit tonight. And I'm so glad that we are a church that loves and accepts whoever, no matter who they are, no matter where they've come from, no matter what's going on in their life. I've never met someone too dirty, that's got too bad of a background, that's too smelly, that I won't wrap my arms around and give them the biggest hug. And if you're in the middle of a hardship in your life, and you come to me and say, I can't come to church, if you see somebody standing next to me that you don't know, that's because I say, you come and stand next to me. I will support you. I will love you. I will care for you. I know what it's like to be down and out. I know what it's like to not want to get up. I know what it's like to have the enemy just completely try to take the life out of you. And I also know what it's like when I've had somebody look at me in the eye and say, you're going to make it. You're going to get through this. This too shall pass. God is still on the throne. He's got a great plan for your life. If you'll stick with it, if you'll go with it, he's going to do something in you that you can't even imagine. Are you with me tonight? Will you listen to me for about 22 minutes? And then I'd like to just, before we leave tonight, if we could take maybe 8 or 10 minutes. Maybe we'll have some prayer together. I'd love it if some of you would just come up to the board and don't look over those tags to qualify which one you'd like, but just go up there, reach and grab one. I've been praying over that this week again, and you got to get down on your knees, and you got to get low and read. Some of those were so beautiful. They brought tears to my eyes when I read them, and little kids praying for their parents and asking for prayer. We are in a special time and a special moment, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm going to ask you if you have your Bible, and it'll be up on the screen in a minute, but if you have your Bible, it'll be great for you to turn there and so you can underline it, to an Old Testament book by the name of Judges in chapter 15. I'm going to have a couple scriptures up on the screen before that. I want to help you. I want to help some people, no matter how young or how old you are, because you're important. You really matter. I want to help you not only to make some good decisions, but to help you with your process and to help you in the journey to the future that God has brought you to. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your might. Reading out of the English Standard Version, these two scriptures. And then Jesus said, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He reiterates this in Matthew 22 and verse 37. He said, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And then he says, with all your mind. So interesting. And sometimes our mind is like a file cabinet that retains everything that we have experienced in our life, either good, but most of the time bad. And our hearts are the containers that also hold all of that. And then our mouth is what is used to ventilate what is in our heart. I don't have to be around somebody long enough and hear how they're talking to know just what they're thinking and where they're at. If somebody has anger in their heart towards others, when they speak, what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. If somebody's got unforgiveness in their heart, you can get around them. You don't have to be around somebody long. they begin to speak like that, and that unforgiveness will come out, maybe not towards a particular person, but maybe it just comes out in generality in their mouths. Our heart, the Bible says, out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if all you have is negativity, if all you have is failure, if all you have is darkness in your heart, that's what's going to come out of your life. And I read this story like I've never read it before about Samson. And about, you know, when we talk about Samson, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Let me just hear some words. Say again. Strength. What else? How about the woman that he, Delilah? When I think about Samson, I think about all these things. I think about how God used him at the very end. I mean, I've preached messages and I've heard messages preached on his hair begin to grow back again. I'm going to read that in chapter 16. But what took Samson down the road to get him before he ever had that issue that happened in his life? And I just found this so interesting, because I've been really having this moment in my own life where I'm just examining my heart and trying to figure out, why do I process things the way I do? Why do I look at certain things the way I do? Why do I take things sometimes the way they were never intended me to take? Sometimes I take things very personally. Sometimes I'm finding and I'm understanding my life more as I get older that I don't like, I'm very relational. I'm very relational. I mean, that's what my heart is. And if I sense that relationship is being fractured in any way, I take it very personally. And I read this about Samson, and we hear about his strength, and we hear about all these things. We hear about his downfall, but it didn't strike me like it did when I read that again today. And because before Delilah, before he had this mishap with this woman that dragged him down and that literally had him killed, there was a journey that took place in his life that brought him to that spot in his life. There was something that went on with him that created that feeling in his life. Why did I do what I've done? And, you know, I was having a conversation up in the office today with somebody, and I was telling him, you know, I was trying to process in my own life, and I've thought about this 10,000 times about the abandonment that I went through as a young child. I've had conversations with Brad. We used to think the same way. You know, if there was a buffet, or if we're going a food line, we'd want to be at the front of that line, not because necessarily we were hogs. Well, maybe we are a little bit, but what we were really feeling is like we were going to be left out with no food, because we grew up and didn't have anything to eat sometimes. And that came to a realization in my life one day where now I will be the last, because I will not let that dominate my life. And so I've identified that weakness that I had in me, and you may be sitting here and thinking, that's weird. I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. Here, this issue in Samson's life where he had enormous strength in his life, but there was one weakness that he had that the enemy just capitalized on. And if we start to read in Judges chapter 15, look at this. This is so incredible. It says, after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. And then it goes on to say, but her father would not permit him to go. Now, I don't want to go back. You know, Samson, he was a judge that God had anointed to defend the nation of Israel. And he was squabbling with the Philistines all the time. But he was out in the time of wheat harvest. He was working. He came home. And guys, if you tell me for Valentine's Day, you bring your wife home a goat, you will not go to dinner with me. Said, why? Or a pig. And that's an inside joke. Samson's outworking. He comes home. He's got a goat. It'd be like you bringing home a $200 gift certificate to Macy's and a dozen of long-stem roses with a box of beautiful Oliver's chocolate. Come on, ladies. I'm working for you now. You don't even know it. I'm sending those subliminal messages to you, and you're not even catching me. Instead, he's bringing home this goat. He wants to meet with her. He's been working a long time. He's been away from her. He's looking for some loving from his wife. And what does the Bible say? Her father would not permit him to go in. And then look at what takes place. The Bible says in verse 2, her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her, his wife, to your friend, to your companion. Is not her younger sister. Then he's trying to get out of it. Isn't her younger sister? Look at her. She's pretty good looking too. Why don't you just take her? Just take her instead. Her father gives her away to Samson's friend. Just think about that a minute. You want to talk about something traumatic happening in your life that creates an issue for you long term. I said what I said earlier because look at what's happening in Samson's life here. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, and Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. What he's saying here is I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something reckless and I don't care what anybody says. Have you ever done that? Where something has hurt you or bothered you so much that you were going to go out and do something and you didn't care what anybody thought or said? I've heard this kind of conversation all of my life. I've heard it from people that have gone through a challenge in their home, in their marriage, in a relationship, at work, where something has happened to them. And the very thing that happens to them, they say, I'm going to go do it, and I don't really care what anybody says. A husband leaves a wife. A wife leaves a husband. And the opposite spouse says, well, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to do the same thing, and I don't care what anybody says. And it all stems from a brokenness that happened in their lives. And Samson says, I'm going to go out. Look what the Bible says. He catches 300 foxes. And he took torches. And he turned the foxes tail to tail. And he put a torch between each pair of their tails. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let 300 foxes go into standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. And the Philistines said, who has done this? Why has this happened? What had happened to Samson's life, he began to take it out on people that had nothing to do with what happened to him. And this is what happens in our lives. Many times we find ourselves, because of something negative that has happened in our past, we end up taking it out on people that have had nothing to do with the problem that we had. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to help somebody tonight. Samson said, since you would do a thing like this, I'll surely take revenge on you, and after that, I will see. So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And then he went down and he dwelled in the cleft of the rock of Edom. And the Philistines went up and encamped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And then the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we have come up to arrest Samson to do to him as he has done to us. And 3,000 men of Judah, they went down to the cleft of the rock to Edom. And they said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines, they're rulers over us? And what is this you have done to them? And he said to them, as they did to me, I have done to them. And they did not. But they said to him, we have come down to arrest you that we may deliver you in the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. And they spoke to him saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you. They bound him with two ropes that brought him up and brought him up from the rock. And then he came to Lehi, and the Philistines came shouting against him. And then the Spirit of the Lord, look at that. I want you to see something in this. That God does not leave his servants even though they are committing sin and they are acting foolish. this is so incredible. I saw this like I've never seen it before. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. There is a man. He is out of control. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. He is enraged. And so it was when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand and he called the place Ramath Lehi. And he became thirsty and he cried to the Lord and said, you have given me this great deliverance by your hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? And God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. And therefore he called it its name En Hakor, which is Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. This is an incredible story, an incredible illustration of a man whose life had been tainted by what happened to him as a young individual. And the Bible goes on to say that after that had happened, after he'd done all of that, after he had gone through the things that he had done, after what he had just committed, this is typical men. I was telling some ladies just this week, watch yourself with the typical man. Don't feel bad. I'm in that too. The very next verse in chapter 16, look what it says. I don't know if I even have it on the screen. No, I went right to 15. Can you find that back there, Jeff? I don't know why I didn't put that in there. I was getting so excited, I just didn't even put it. The first verse, if you got your Bible, you'll find it. In chapter 16, after Samson kills 1,000 men, after all of this heartache went on in his life, you know what happened? The next verse, verse 1, it said, now Samson went to Gaza. He saw a harlot and he took her. And when the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and they waited late for him all night at the gate of the city. And they were quiet all night saying, in the morning when it's daylight, we'll kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight, and then he arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate. And the city is still strong, he's still powerful, but there is a weakness inside of him that he can't shake. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me tonight, because I'm going somewhere with this. You can just go back to that verse 15, because I'm going to skip right ahead to that. Samson never loses his strength. But he's weak in this one area of his life. He can do all of these other great things. But here's one area that he can't seem to get past. He can't seem to get around. He can't seem to master. And why is this continually happening to them? And he finds this woman by the name of Delilah. And Samson has, you know the story, this supernatural strength. He took the vow of a Nazarite, and one of the parts of that vow was that alcohol would never touch his lips. Another part of the vow was that there would never be a razor come to his hair, and the strength that he had was hidden in his long locks of hair. And he finds this woman by the name of Delilah, and she begins to say, I love you and when your heart is with me. But up to that point, he had gone with her. He had laid his head in her lap 3 times before, and she tried to kill him. And that weakness kept on taking control of him, even after she said, he woke up every time. She had Philistines there to kill him. He never got the picture. In his brain, there was a block there that nothing changed with him until the last of the day that it came, that the Bible says that he finally broke down and he told her where his strength lied. It was in his hair. And he laid his head in her lap one more time. And the Bible says that she shaved his head. And when the Philistines came in, they took control of him. The Bible goes on to say that they gouged his eyes out. Then the Bible says that they bound him and they put him on a wheel, on a grist mill. And in prison, he'd go round and round, blinded. Here was this man that not many days hence, he killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. And now he's reduced to nothing. But the Bible goes on to say that his hair begins to grow back. But this is what I want to just for about 6 or 7 minutes, I just want to tell you, there is a difference today. And in our culture, in our church culture, there is this notion that we want just enough to get through the what we have to deal with in our lives. We are looking for this touch from God, from this experience with God that will help us feel better about who we are right now. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that everyone that Jesus touched was healed, but only the ones that pressed through the crowd were made whole. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 48 that your faith has made you whole, talking about the woman with the issue of blood. Why? Because she got up and she had to push through a whole bunch of other things and a whole bunch of other people to get to Jesus so she would have an experience to be made whole. The Bible says in John chapter 5, the man who was laying at the gate, when Jesus came to him, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The first thing he says, "I don't have anybody else to do for me what I need done." Waiting for something or somebody to give to him who God says he was the only one that could give to him what he needed. And Jesus said to him this very day, he says to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" And I want to just tell somebody tonight that being made right, being made whole, has more to do in our lives than just a little touch from God every now and again. But it's an encounter with God. It's something that you and I have to push through to get. It's something that you and I have to give effort to get what He has for our lives. I was thinking about this in my own life. Why do I feel sometimes the way I feel? Why do I go through some of the things that I go through? Why do I feel sometimes disconnected? And I look back and I think about the moments and the days that I went through, the abandonment in my own life. And could I, at 61 years old, have never dealt with something like that that still has the propensity inside of me to make me feel the way I do sometimes? Why am I driven to do that? And I think about people that have other needs and other issues. I think about people that I've talked to this week that they go so far and then something pulls them back. And I want to tell you that you're not going to get it just by doing the same thing over and over. But there comes a moment in our lives, brothers and sisters, that you got to push through to get to what God has for you. You can't just think somebody's going to do it. If the guy's singing good, if the musicians are playing great, if somebody smiles at me at the door, it's all good. It fits in the package. But everything that happens here should move you to push through to get to what God wants to give to you. Because the last thing that we need in our lives is to stay molded by what happened in our past that has created us something in our future. And oh yes, and I preached that message. Oh, that Samson, the hair began to grow back on his head, and the Philistines, they mocked him, they spit on him, they made fun of him, and one day they said, "Bring him out so he can entertain us." And he said, "God, if you'll just hear me one more time, if you'll hear the prayer, may I destroy more in my last moment of my life than I did all the days before." And that's great. And that's an incredible story. And I preach that with passion. And I love that. He puts his hands, he tells the boy that let him out, "Just put my hand on each pillar so I may hold myself up." But the reality was, he said, "God, give me that strength one more time." And God gave him the strength, and that building came down. And the Bible says that more Philistines, the evil ones that tried to taunt against the nation of Israel, died in that day than in all of his life. Great story. But how much better would it have been had he been made whole when he was younger and never got to that place? As great as his ending was, how much greater it would have been if he had stayed strong in the process, in the journey of his life, if he would have pushed through, if he would have gotten help, if he would have been accountable to some other people, if he would have talked to somebody and told them, "What is my weakness? I need help with this. Will somebody please tell me what I need to know?" My goodness, I feel this in my heart so much. I don't want to just get together. And so that was a great message. Well, that music was, I love that song that you sing. Would you slip me a piece of paper? Would you sing this song because it makes me feel good? And that's all great. But if God doesn't make you whole, live your life with this limp, with this hindrance forever. And you got to push through it. You got to let God have his way in your life. Do you want to be made whole, or do you want just the minimum? And listen, I'm convinced. And God loves you whether you want just a little bit or whether you want a lot. His love is still the same. But I'm talking about the long-term effect of your effectiveness of your life. I've said this a lot of times in my life. Growing up, the abuse, my dad, the abandonment issues, all these things that I processed. And I could let that define me. Let me tell you something. When I share my testimony and I tell people about what I have been through and the pain that I have experienced, it makes me feel bad. It's like I'm talking about somebody else and I feel bad for them. And if I stayed there and I could get all the sympathy and all the mercy and I could ask people to pray for me and woe is me, everything is bad. But what good is that going to do for me? And what good will it do for the next generation under me and the generation after that? There must come a time where I push through and I say, that's enough of that. This is enough of that. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to engage in the self-destructive patterns that my life has the propensity to move to. I'm not going to hurt other people because I've been hurt. I was upstairs I walked out and I'm looking around in the office and I'm saying, how am I even here? How am I even here? How am I here? I don't even know how I'm here. Is it okay that I just talk honest and vulnerable with you? You're awful quiet. How am I here? No, I didn't even read the scripture where the Philistines took Samson's wife and her father and burned them to death. You talk about dysfunction. And if I was to take a poll here tonight, if I was to say, if you've ever had dysfunction in your family, please stand up. Would there be a seat that would be empty? I don't think so. But God says to you and I tonight, it's time to let the old go. It's time to believe God in a whole greater and a bigger way. It's time to let him take you further, raise you higher, do more inside of you than you ever could on your own and in your own power and your own strength. Come on. You with that tonight? I want to pray. I want to just take about 7 minutes tonight and pray. Debbie, if you just come over. I want you just to take a moment. Maybe you need prayer tonight. If you need prayer tonight, right in the next 7 or 8 minutes, we'll just close at about, I don't know, 3, 4 minutes, 5 minutes after 8, 7, 8, 9 minutes. If you need prayer, you just come up, stand up here. If you would pray for some of these over here, I just want you to come up and take one of those tags and just pray over it. You can stand around there. If I talk to you tonight, if there's something, you know, back that happened to you, I'm sorry. I really am sorry for that tonight. But you can't let that define who God has called and created you to be. You are not that. There would be people around your life, you know, when they brought Samson out, they wanted to celebrate his failure, celebrate he's destroyed. He's all washed up. There'll always be people that will applaud you when you fail. But there is more for you than there are against you tonight. Father, in Jesus' name now, I pray for those who are here that have even encountered a difficulty, a pain, a struggle in their lives, God, that they need to be lifted up. They need to be set free from that. I pray that you would do that even in these next few moments tonight. I pray that you would give us the strength to press through, to push through, to move beyond where we've settled, God. When we don't feel good, we continue to go. When we're tired, we continue to go. When we're upset and we're angry, we continue to move towards you. When we've been hurt and disappointed and we go through just challenges in our life, we continue to press and move towards you. Thank you, God, for that. Just come on, let's just take a few minutes tonight. Pray. If you just need something extra from God, I just would encourage you to step out of your seat tonight and just come stand down front here just for a few minutes. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to do anything. It's just a moment between you and God. If you're struggling with any type of challenge in your home, in your family, in your personal life, come on, let's press through just for a few minutes tonight. If you could, some of you go up at the board there and take a tag, maybe take two and pray over it. Let's believe God for something great tonight. Thank you, God.